Want to experience Christ United like never before? Download our app today. You can watch live and previous messages, take sermon notes, get calendar updates, find giving options, and more. Just go to your app store and search Christ United.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information on our church, check out christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following at ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for listening. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
And now, I want to speak to you for just a second. This has been Veterans Day weekend, right? How many veterans do we have? Raise your hand in this place. Can we give God a hand for these men and women who have served so beautifully? And as we celebrated Veterans Day weekend, as we celebrate those people who have given so much and continue to give so much so that we can have the privilege and the joy and of being able to be here freely worshiping God in this place. At the same time, we've been, after an election, going through a time when it seems like half of the people in this room are celebrating and the other half in this room are just weeping and broken because of the results of the election. And you're standing beside people on both ends of that spectrum. And I want to say that neither of those are neither right nor necessary. And here's why. Number one, if you're celebrating because Donald Trump is now president-elect, as though somehow the election of Trump and Republicans being in office is a victory for the kingdom of God, you are so wrong. It is not a victory for the kingdom of God, nor would it have been had Hillary been elected. Had Secretary Clinton been elected, it wouldn't be any more a victory for this nation, for people who are Christ's followers. And here's what we said from the very beginning, and that is that on both ends of this political division and spectrum, there are some good things and there are some horrible things on both ends of that. And we knew from the beginning that when this election was over, it would not be a win for the kingdom of God. Now, understanding that, I want you to understand, wait a second, I want to hold off. We're going to give God glory in a minute, but here's the reality. The reality is that we are much in the place that the nation of Israel, what was left of it, Judah, was in about 600 BC. Because they were in a place where there were two great powers, both of which had all kinds of evil underneath them. There were the Egyptians and there were the Babylonians. And some said, I hope that the Egyptians, as a matter of fact, tried to make deals with the Egyptians so the Egyptians could be in control. And others were thinking, maybe the Babylonians. But the reality was that as everybody was clamoring, the reality was that there would be no victory regardless of whether the Egyptians prevailed and took over or the Babylonians prevailed and took over. It's still a takeover. And the reality was in that situation that there was not going to be a win where some government was going to take over and bring about the glory of God because they had all the right positions. But what the people prayed for and believed and knew was this. They knew that in spite of the fact that there were some very, very wrong powers at work in the world, we still had a right God who was on the throne, and He would bring about His purposes through His people in the midst. And so when the Babylonians ultimately prevailed and they came into Jerusalem and took off the children of Israel into captivity, and Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were among them, you remember that. People weren't cheering, "Yay, Nebuchadnezzar!" Even if they voted for him. We need to recognize the reality that had it been one or the other, neither one represents a Christ-like, full-on biblical world view. They just don't. And we don't expect them to. And so we don't celebrate that, but at the same time, there's no need for weeping, because as they went off into Babylon, they still knew this. God's in control, and God's going to work, and God's going to move. And listen to this. Yeah, and the hope was not in Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. The hope was in the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? And they knew this. that what we're going to do when we get there is what God has told us to do. And they honored Nebuchadnezzar. They were just like we honored. We have always taught you this. We honor who's in leadership over us, trusting that the God of the universe is sovereign over everything, right? And we said the same thing when it was Obama. We said the same thing when it was Clinton. We said the same thing going back to Bush and Reagan. It does not matter who's in leadership. We are responsible for honoring God by showing respect for the leadership that is over us. And should we ever be called to say we can't do this because it violates the principles, we stand together. Just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood together and said, sorry, we can't bow down to this. But we stand together, and we don't stand in rebellion. We stand in honor to God, ready to take whatever consequences come because we are God's people. And so here's the reality. Guys, we are overloaded with hope. Please don't weep if you voted the other way. Had you gotten what you wanted, it would be just as bad as it is now. The only hope is this. The only hope is that we, the people of God, would rise up. And I tell you, had the Democratic Party been elected, we would have had a major responsibility ahead of us to look out for the rights of the unborn and defend religious freedom and liberty, right? We would have. But listen to this. Right now, we've got equally as big of a task that we stand up for the rights of those who are disenfranchised, for the immigrant, our brothers and sisters of color. We got a job to do. And we got a job to stand up together as the body of Christ. Don't be a stinking Democrat or Republican. Ultimately, you will go to hell for either one. I really mean that. We are followers of Jesus Christ. And as followers of Jesus Christ, our brothers and sisters who are on the other side of the aisle can trust us that we will be for them and not against them. And we will love them and we will defend their rights and we will stand up with them and for them, because the hope of this world is not Democratic, it's not Republican. The hope of the world is Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. So as we dismiss the children, as soon as the children are out of the aisles and on their way out, I want you to find somebody that looks like they might not have voted for the same person you did and give them a hug. Would you do that? Just love somebody. And now as you make your way back and you think about this thought, when we've got a nation with millions of people and we've got a world with billions of people and we're talking about bringing hope to this world through the Church of Jesus Christ, I can guarantee you this is true for 99% of the people in this room. You don't think that you will make that big of a difference. You don't think that you, as one individual, as a follower of Jesus, you don't think you're going to make a big difference. This sermon today is called Exponential, The Power and the Importance of One. Tune in. This is about the exponential importance and power of one individual like yourself. And the difference that you can make in this world is beyond anything you ever thought possible. And it all goes back to this simple concept of exponential. And let me just kind of illustrate it this way. Right now, I want to hire I'm just going to hire one of you to work here in December, all right? I'm going to take resumes at the end of this to work here in the month of December, right? And 31 days in the month of December, I've got two different potential payment plans for you, and here they are. Number one, if you would like, I will pay you $1 million to work here for the month of December. Anybody in? Come on. Come on. Anybody in? If I were to say, I'll do that. I'll give you the $1 million. But if you'd like, instead, I'll pay you a penny the first day and I'll double it the second day, right? And if I double it the next day and the day after that, that'll be your salary, a penny, doubled each day for 31 days. How many people realize that if that happened and I took one penny and doubled it, on day four, I would know, oh my God, I'm an idiot. I would only have 8 pennies on day four. By the time I got to day 11, I would just have a little over 10 bucks. And then day 12, I get a little excited because I got 20, you know? By the time you get out to day 20, you'd be saying, I'm doing good. I'm over $5,000. And then you would say, oh my goodness, I could have had a million, right? By the time you got to day 28, you would be over that million by a long shot. And then by day 31, how many people know? You'd have $10,737,418.24. Does that work? Now, here's the reality. There's an enormous power that is available through this whole concept of multiplication. And God's just saying, I want you to keep that in mind, okay, as we talk, because here's the reality about how God works. When God gets ready to do something big, and just understand this, when God gets ready to do something very big, He starts very small. You see it over and over again. He's created the universe. He's going to populate the planet Earth. He wants us to fill the Earth, and He starts with one dude and one woman and says, we're going to populate the entire Earth. When He wanted to build a great nation through which all the nations of the world would be blessed, that was Adam and Eve, in case y'all didn't know. Now, when He got ready to do that, when He started to build this great nation, there was going to be so many people that He said, it's going to be like the dust of the earth. Yeah, I mean, if you can count the dust, you could count the people that are going to come through this nation. Or like the stars of the sky. When He got ready to do that, He chose one guy and one woman, Abram and Sarai. And then He said, I'm not going to do it to a whole bunch of children. I'm going to give you one son, Isaac. And then I'm going to use that and I'm going to change everything. The truth is that when Jesus Christ came to this planet, He came to do something. He came to bring hope to every single living, breathing human being who was on the planet or ever would be on the planet, knowing that that would be billions of people. Jesus came to bring that hope. And in the midst of that, He was in the Roman Empire that had hundreds of thousands, millions of people that were being affected by this powerful governmental system and all kinds of things going wrong. And so you think, if Jesus is going to bring hope to every person on the planet, surely He's going to just get this mass, get as many people as He possibly can. You know, let's get big crowds. Let's preach to big crowds. And the truth is, because of the power that was in Jesus and because of who He was and the authority with which he spoke, crowds did follow Him en masse. But when it came to changing the world, what did He do? He chose 12. And He would get away from the crowds and build into the 12. And then not just the 12, whenever He had something real important to do, He would just grab Peter, James, and John and take them with Him. So most of His time was spent with 12, and then a lot of His time with just 3. And you're going like, how in the world, why in the world would Jesus, if He's planning on bringing hope to every human being, ultimately millions on the planet, would He choose such a small number and get away from crowds to build into that small number? The beautiful thing about Jesus and the beautiful thing about our God in heaven is this, is that God cares about individuals. Individuals matter deeply to Him. And so this reality is that to God, every single person matters. To God, every single person matters. So when Jesus saw the crowds, He didn't just see big crowds. We see crowds and we think, oh yeah, that's 100,000, that's 1,000,000, you have big crowds. Jesus saw a whole bunch of individuals and He had compassion on them. In fact, when He had these crowds, the crowds were following Him because He was going through all the towns and villages and healing every disease and sickness. He was caring about individuals. And because of His care for individuals, masses of people followed Him. You see, for God, every single person matters. And that means He knows the importance of every person. Every person was priceless to Him. That's why Paul was able to write in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. He can't stand for one to be lost. In fact, Peter said He doesn't want anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He knew the enormous importance of every individual. And to Him, people were important that others considered unimportant, like a woman who had lived a very sinful life had come to a place where Jesus was, and everybody else was saying, you should stay away from her. People think you're as bad as she is. And yet, she was so important to Him. He didn't mind what anybody thought. She was the most important person in the room because He wanted her to know His love. Every individual was priceless in the heart of God and priceless in the heart of Jesus. But He also knew not just the importance of every person, but He knew the power of every person. God knows the power of every person. When Jesus was walking along and He saw Peter or Andrew or James or John, and these are guys who are fishermen. I mean, I dressed the way I dressed today because I was thinking, I just want you to get it. It does not matter. These guys were uneducated, no big influence. They were fishermen. They stunk. They were not anything special. The only thing they were was available and teachable and obedient. That's all. And they weren't even great at obeying. God had to work on that. But the reality was, is He said, I'm going to use these guys. There's enormous power in what I'm going to do through those individuals. It was the same when He saw, He told them, He said, I'm going to send you out and fish for people, man. I see the power and potential in your life. When He saw Matthew sitting in the tax collector's booth, nobody saw the power and potential in Matthew, but Jesus did. Nobody would have thought He would make a great kingdom impact, He would do great things for the kingdom of God, but Jesus saw it. He sees the power of those individuals, and sure enough, Matthew started making a huge difference almost right off the bat because it was with the people that he knew and the people he was in relationship with, and God began to move through him. God knows about the importance of every individual. We've been talking about a lady over our last series, talked about her a lot. It was a woman from Samaria, and this woman from Samaria was considered, by the fact that she was Samaritan, a half-breed and not really a spiritual person and a person who's not really valuable in the eyes of the people that were surrounding Jesus. And also, she had been married 5 times, was living with the guy that wasn't her husband, so even to her own people, she was considered as being kind of a waste of time and not very valuable. Jesus actually invested time in her, so much so that the disciples were like, shocked. What were you doing investing time in this woman? Jesus saw not only her importance, but He also saw her power. Because this woman would actually make an influence in the Samaritan people in that village that today probably has resulted in hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people being changed. He knew the power and He knew the importance of every individual because, see, we only think when we look at something like a Samaritan woman or somebody that we think, okay, maybe I can get the importance of that person, but you miss the power of that person. God thinks this way. Why was it that Jesus, I want you to picture this, why was it that Jesus spent all that time investing in one woman? And let me ask you this. How could He afford to spend that much time? I'm trying to spread the gospel to the whole world. I'm trying to reach every Samaritan. Ultimately, after the Jews were reached, He was going to go to the Samaritans. And He was going to send people to the Samaritans to change all the Samaritans. Wouldn't it be better to go into town and get a mass revival going? Why would you invest so much time in one individual? It's because when God thinks, He thinks differently than we do. We only think in terms of addition. Well, all this is one person. And that person is priceless, priceless. But if I spend all my time on that person, how about all the other people? How about the other thousands of people that need to be reached? How about them? He didn't think only in terms of addition because she was priceless, but He thought in terms of multiplication. It's what she can do. When you think exponentially, and for you math people, when you add a number to the base, you aren't just adding one, you're adding to the base and then it is multiplied by the power. You get it? It's multiplied by the power because that one individual has enormous impact when that individual begins to start making other individuals like them who make other individuals like them. That begins to change everything. And so when Jesus saw this woman, He had the time to invest in loving her because she was important, but also because she would then be powerful. Because she would be able to take it forward. And that's the way it was with Paul, a young man named Timothy. He just loved him. He said, you're like a son to me. And he said to Timothy, come on, I want to invite you. Let's go and live like Jesus. Let's learn to live like Jesus. Let's just go do it together. And he brought Timothy along with him. So that one was enormously important. But also, Paul understood that he wasn't just important, he was powerful. And so he said this simple little thing to Timothy. He said, the things that you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others. He's saying, look, you've got enormous importance to me, Timothy. You're like a son to me. But also there's enormous power in you just taking what we've learned together and you invite other people to learn with you. And you begin to do that and you start bringing others who will in turn help bring others in and say, come on, let's learn to live like Jesus together. Let's just do this together. And you're going to see the world change. God thinks not just in terms of addition. He thinks in terms of multiplication. He gets it. And so you and I, when we think, we always think big. Like, man, if I was going to try to bring hope to the world, I'd have to fill stadiums, you know, like Billy Graham did. And that's the only way I could see making a difference that's going to make a big difference in this world is lots of people getting saved. Interestingly, in the Bible, in the book of Acts that accounts the New Testament church, there's one time when a whole lot of people made a decision to follow Jesus at the same time. It's in the book of Acts chapter 2. Peter's the one who preached the sermon. He's probably going like, yeah, I'm the man. Because 3,000 people were added to their number that day. Do y'all remember that? 3,000 people became followers of Jesus that day. So it was a great day. It was a big day. Do you notice that after that, you never hear about another big day? As a matter of fact, you don't hear anything about big sermons. You hear things like we talked about a week or two ago about Philip, one of the 12, right, who had been with Jesus. And he spent a whole big block of his time, seemed like about a day, that he spent with one Ethiopian eunuch. Y'all remember that? He spent a whole day investing in this one dude, this one guy. Why? Because that person is enormously important, but also that person is enormously powerful because the reality is that as he's changed and he turns and says to others, come with me, let's do it. We're going to learn to live like Jesus and you're going to help others. And we're all, just invite them. Come on, bring them in. He knew the importance, but also the power of what that would do. And so when the New Testament church started growing, y'all, look at anybody, look at Matthew or Andrew, Peter's brother, or Thomas or James or any others. Find where they're preaching big sermons to big crowds and lots of people coming to know him. Even Paul, y'all know the Apostle Paul who wrote many of the books of the New Testament. Look at Paul, and when he writes to churches where he had been traveling around, sharing the gospel, wanting everybody to know, he would write back to the church and he would just be able to name people by name when he would write them. Why? Because every single one of those people was important, and also because obviously it wasn't masses so big that people could get their head around it. The truth was, it seemed very small what he was doing. But see, Paul understood something. And that was, I'm not just trying to get people to make decisions. I'm not just trying to get somebody to say, yeah, I say yes to Jesus. I'm helping these people. And the reason I'm mentioning people by name and the reason I'm investing so much into a few people is I'm investing in people so that they don't just make a decision that, yeah, I agree that Jesus is Lord. They make a decision to actually begin to live like Jesus, to truly follow him. And when you begin to live like Jesus, you begin to do what he did. And when you begin to do what he did, you start reaching out and loving people the same way he reached out and loved people. And you start bringing people to God like he did. And so what Paul knew was that the whole idea, we have this idea in our minds, we want people to make decisions about Jesus. That's what we want. We want people to make a decision about Jesus. Will you decide that Jesus is Lord? Will you accept him as your Savior? We want people to make decisions about Jesus. But here's what God wanted. God wants people to make disciples like Jesus. Not just decisions about Jesus, but disciples like Jesus. He's saying, what I want you to do is help junior high and high school students and college students and people in your neighborhoods and where you work and retirees who live in your neighborhoods. I want you to help them learn to actually live like Jesus. Because if they begin to live like Jesus, then they're going to be loving like Jesus, caring like Jesus. The Spirit's going to be working through them and he's going to be drawing people to himself through them. And then they will in turn help others learn to live like Jesus. And through that, I'm going to change the world. That was his plan from the very beginning. That was his plan. So when Jesus left the earth, he didn't say, go out and get a lot of people to say yes to Jesus. He said, I want you to do this. I want you to go make disciples. A disciple is a person who is a follower of Christ, which means that they're becoming like him, that they're actually doing what he did. That's what I want you to do. I want you to go out, get people, and then invite them to learn together to live like Jesus. Can you do that? Can you just say, come on, guys, let's just learn from him and let's grow in him and let's become like Jesus. Because if we become like Jesus, man, our lives are going to be full. It's going to be meaningful. We're going to have purpose. Let's just learn to live like Jesus together. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to make disciples. And so Jesus said this. He said, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you. The Father sent me. As the Father sent me, now I'm sending you. Do you get that picture? Do you realize how enormous that is? Jesus was saying, all of us who are followers of his, he isn't just saying, I want you to decide that I'm God and you're going to heaven and now you're good. The reason you're still on the planet is so that you can reach out and grab hold of other people and say, come on, guys, we're learning to live like Jesus. Let's do this together. I want you to be with me. Let's do it. Because when you start learning to live like Jesus and helping others learn to live like Jesus, and they in turn help others learn to live like Jesus, then God begins to move exponentially and begins to change the world through that process. And He didn't say, I'm sending you. He then, in the next verse we read about it, He breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. He's saying, I'm going to give you power. I'm going to put my love in your heart. I'm going to put in your heart what's in my heart. I'm going to put in your mind what's in my mind. I'm going to make you like me. I'm going to send you out to do what I came to do. And guess what? I'm going to be with you. I'm going to be in you. I'm going to give you my love for the people you encounter. I'm going to give you my wisdom. I'm going to help you to actually be like me in reality. And as you learn to be like me, you're going to be able to say to other people, come on, we're learning to live like Jesus. Come on. He's going to give you His Spirit as well. All right? He's not just giving His Spirit to me. He's going to give it to you. And He's going to work through you too. Now, come on, let's do this together. That is what started the radical revolution that has made more impact on this earth than anything else in all of human history. Do you understand that? It made more impact on this earth than anything else in all human history. And right now it is growing more rapidly than it ever has in human history. God is moving powerfully through that simple process. He said, I want you to teach people, not even teach people. I want you to understand. Just invite people to learn to live like Jesus with you. Say, come on, let's follow Him. Let's learn to live like Him. And then you in turn invite others to learn. But let's not just say something. Let's not just go to church. Let's not just say, yeah, I believe in Jesus. Let's actually get in the process of saying, make me like you, Jesus. Put in my heart what's in yours and help us to reach the world. Well, that's what happened. They started doing it. And you read in Acts after the big 3,000 came to Jesus. After that, from that point forward, you never hear the big crowd thing. All you hear is, it says that, man, they started living like Jesus. They started sharing their possessions with each other. They started loving each other. You know, they started Democrats and Republicans actually loving each other in the process. And things started happening, right? There weren't Democrats and Republicans. Thank God. But the reality was, is they were loving each other in the process. And as they were loving each other in the process, they loved each other so good that other people are looking in and saying, I want some of that. I would like some of that. And they're saying, come. Come, we're learning to live like Jesus together. That's what we're doing. Come on, because He'll move in your heart like He's moving in ours, and He'll be with you, and we'll learn together, and we'll start being like Jesus. And then when you see other people, you can say to them, come join us, man. We're going to get in on this. And that is what changed the world. And that's the hope for changing the world today. Now, as I say that, I just want you to understand that if Peter had kept preaching every day and 3,000 people had come to Jesus as a result of Peter's preaching every single day from that day until now, nearly 2,000 years later, do you realize the number of people who would have come to Christ in that time would not be the number that has come to Christ through the way that Jesus planned it? And do you realize that 3,000 may seem like a big number, but do you know that right now in the continent of Africa, as we told you in our last sermon series, 25,000 people a day are coming to a relationship with Jesus. In China, where you can't have a gathering of people who are talking about Jesus, you can't get a bunch of people together and preach to them. In China, 30,000 people a day are coming into a relationship with Jesus because people are simply doing what Jesus said, do. Go out and grab people and say, come on, let's learn to live like Him together. Let's invite His Spirit into our hearts and start living and loving like Jesus. And then let's invite other people and teach others to invite others. And as we do this, God's saying, I want to change the world. And I've chosen one plan, one master plan to do it. And it is not big evangelisms filling stadiums. It is not preachers who everybody looks to and says, yeah, man, that preacher's going to get it going on. It is you. His plan is you. His plan is to take individuals who would say, I will make a disciple. Now, let me ask you, if you ever thought, I said right now, we're in a world who desperately needs, I mean, the United States of America needs desperately transformation, and so many millions of people here need their lives eternally changed, right? They need hope where they feel hopeless. And that's true all around this world. And you're thinking to yourself, as I said in the beginning, you're thinking to yourself, well, I'm not in that position. I can't win a presidential election. I'm not a person who's going to have that level of influence. I'm not even gifted to preach like maybe Jeff or like Brent or like Steve. I hadn't got that gift, so I'll never make that kind of influence. Let me ask you a question. If I could just guarantee you today, if I were to say, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to guarantee you 1,500 new Christians in 15 years. That means I'm going to guarantee you that 100 people will come to say yes to Jesus. I'm going to teach you how to preach. I'm going to teach you how to preach, and I'm going to get you a place in the pulpit, and you're going to get up here and start preaching every single, and y'all, every single year, you're going to see 100 people. That's almost 2 every single week. You're going to do it. How many people, if I could guarantee you, I promise you, I guarantee you, I will teach you how to do it, and you could see 100 people saved a year for the next 15 years. How many people go like, I'm in? You know what I'm saying? I mean, that would be awesome. You mean I could make 1,500 people's lives change? I could be that big of an influence? Yes. Well, if I said, I've got another option for you. So how many people are in for that one? If I could guarantee you 1,500 new Christians in 15 years, teach you how to preach, do whatever it takes to save them, how many people go like, that sounds good. Sounds good to me. I could do that. Yeah. You teach me how, you help me. How about if I were to just say this instead? I just want to help you. Listen. I'll guarantee you that I'll help you to do this. I'll help you to do it, that you'll know you can do it. I don't care if you just started following Jesus a week ago. I guarantee you I can teach you how to take one person in a year and say, come on, let's learn to live like Jesus together, and I will teach you how to make one disciple in a year. And then the next year, you'll make one more disciple, and the person that you made a disciple, you'll say, now you go make one. All right? Now let me ask you. If I were to just say, let me teach you how to do that. Let me teach you how to make one disciple, and then you tell that disciple that, look, hey, while we've learned to live like Jesus together, if you got other people you love, you invite them to learn to live like Jesus with you, just like I'm inviting you to learn to live like Jesus with me. We're going to do that, right? If I taught you to do that, in 10 years, there will be 1,024 people, their lives eternally changed because of you, if you just did that one thing. Do you understand that? If you made one disciple in a year, and you made a disciple-making disciple, and then both of you kept making disciple-making disciples, you would influence 1,024 people in 10 years. But that wouldn't be 1,024 people who say yes to Jesus and yes to the party on Saturday night and live like the devil. You would be talking about 1,024 people who actually live and love like Jesus and who are making an impact in this world. 1,024 mini-me's of Jesus would be on the earth because of you. Now, if that were to happen, you know where you'd be in 15 years? In 15 years, 32,768, not just you say yes to Jesus people, but 32,768 followers of Jesus who are living like Jesus on this planet. If you just did one thing. If you just said, I'm going to make one disciple and teach them how to make a disciple and tell them to teach the next person to make a disciple. And if I did that, we would see the world change. And you get your mind around it. By the time 20 years comes around, you got over 1 million people. You got over 1 million people in 20 years. And how many people are sitting here going right now like, this sounds like the Amway plan for Jesus, right? Yeah. Here's the reality. Is that long before Amway picked it up, God had it. Do you understand? God had it. And it was His plan. Do you understand? It was His plan. But instead of it being motivated by money and greed and fueled by the power of compound interest, it is motivated by love and passion for people, and it is empowered by the Spirit of God. Do you understand that? And God's saying, I have intended from the beginning that I would move that way. That's my plan for changing the earth. Is you. And you making disciples is at the core of it all, and that is why you are still on the planet, to make disciples who make disciples, and in doing so, change the world. And so God's got a very big plan. And His very big plan, when He does that, He starts with very little, right? We said that. He starts very small. And so God's got a very big plan right now. God's going to do something very big. He's going to give hope to millions. Right now, we've got billions of people on the planet and billions of them who don't know God's love right now. And you think, how in the world could I put a dent in it? How in the world could I put a dent in it? And God's saying, you got an enormous dent to put in it. Because when I get ready to do something big like giving new life to millions, He says, I'm going to start with something very small, and that's you. I'm going to start with you. I'm going to start with you. Now listen, tune into this. You get hold of this because this is reality. This is truth. The truth is that if you'll do what God called you to do, and you simply say to others, do what God has called you to do, and in turn say to others, do what God has called you to do, do you realize that you personally in 15 years could influence over 32,000 people's eternity? 32,000. When your number is added, your number is added to the base. And when a number is added to the base, it is multiplied by the power. And in this case, the power of the Holy Spirit taking that and duplicating that in the lives of other people. 32,000 people, if you'll do what God told you to do, just one disciple, make one. Now, I've been telling you, I've been saying, I want you to do something. I want you to commit an hour of your life. That's a start. The hour is the beginning, and then it grows out from there to so much difference you'll make in the world and so many things you'll be doing. But here's the thing. An hour a week with two or three people learning to live like Jesus. Could you do that? What we've done, I've taken 32 years of experience in ministry. We've taken the 18 or 19 years that we've spent here at Christ United. That over the last several months, we just boiled everything down and said, how, God, could we bring it and make it so simple that anybody, even if they've just become a follower of Christ and just beginning to learn to live like Jesus, that anybody could look at it and say, I believe I could do that. How could you do it? Well, that's what we've been praying for God to show us and know in our hearts that He's shown us. I promise you, you know what my job is. Do you understand what my job is? My job is to get you to do that. That's my job. And right now, with everything we got, we're pouring into it. This afternoon, 75 people who are leaders within this church or people who are servants within this church in different ministries. If you're a servant in different ministries or you're a leader and you hadn't already signed up, go to the dome right after this and we got food for you. We got enough for you. You come join us. But we got 75 plus you going out to learn about it today. Starting January of next year, we're going to dive in it together and we're going to put our lives into this thing. And we're going to say, God, we're going to start doing what you called us to do. Now, you've got a choice right now. And listen, this is enormously important. You can be a typical Americanized so-called Christian and you can care about one thing. I'm going to heaven. And every year, you can just be really careful that you keep on being like, you know, I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to be a good Christian. I'm going to go to church. I'm going to read my Bible. I'm going to do all this kind of stuff and not care about anybody else who's going to hell because you're going to heaven. And you keep on working on you every year for the next 15 years. Keep working on you every year for the next 15 years. And you've got 1 × 1 × 1 × 1 × 1 × 1 × 1. And you're going to get then, you're going to have one. You're going to have one soul impacted, period. You make the decision today that you say, or maybe as you put these banners up here praying for people that you love, and you've kind of made the commitment, I'm going to share because I want people to decide to follow Jesus. And if you do that and you do it with all your heart and you really reach out and you really care and say a couple of people a year come to Christ, that would be enormous compared to most Christianized people in the United States. That'd be enormous. But you know what your difference would be in 15 years? Two or three people a year is going to give you 30, 45 people you're going to make a difference in. So you can be a 1 × 1 × 1 × 1 person, or you can be a person who just adds a couple every year. Or you can be adding a number to the base that's multiplied by the power. You can say, I'm going to become a disciple maker. I'm going to take what this church is putting in my hand and I'm going to invite some people and say, let's learn to live like Jesus together. And then you guys invite some people to say, let's learn to live like Jesus together. I'm going to spend an hour a week with two or three other people learning to live like Jesus. And I'm going to do that in such a way that they can in turn reach out to people they love and say, come, let's learn to live like Jesus. You do that 15 years from now, 32,000 people could have a whole different eternity. 32,000 people plus could be in heaven because you did what Jesus called you to do. How does the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God of this universe look at 6 billion people on the planet and say, how am I going to use what seems like a small number of people on this planet in the church to reach 6 billion people? You just heard how. And your part over the next 15 years is about 32,000 people's worth. And the question is this, are you going to do it? I'm inviting you to this altar to come down and say, God, if you can teach me how, I'll do it. If you can teach me how, I'll do it. That's just that simple. If you can teach me how to invite other people to learn to live like you, who will in turn invite other people to live like you, teach me how, I'll do it, God. I'll invest my heart and my life in it. I mean, of course I'll give an hour a week with two or three other people. Of course I'll do that. But Lord God, you ask of me whatever you need if I can make that kind of difference in this world. So this altar is open for you. For those of you who have somebody, a person, an individual that you care about, and you want to grab one of these prayer banners and write their name and then just leave the prayer banner on the altar, just leave it there if there's somebody you want to pray for. Because y'all remember this? Here's the power of it. He said every individual matters to Him. Every individual. He doesn't want us to just look at masses of people. Every human being matters. And some of those human beings are attached to you right now. Lord God, would you move in us? And I pray that there wouldn't be a single person in this congregation that doesn't step up to do what you called to do. Guys, I got to say this to you because God already knows it, but if you choose to obey Him, 32,000 people could be impacted. If you choose not to obey Him, 32,000 people may pay the price for your disobedience. We got a big job. And it's time for us to get started doing that job. So I invite you to stand, guys. Lord, we just thank you that as these guys stand and we respond, we pray that we would respond faithfully. And we pray that you would move powerfully. And guys, for those of you who have any doubt about it, I just want to tell you today we're going to begin just introducing to your leaders and to you. If you want to be there, come and join us. If you serve here, if you're a part of this church, feel free to come and join us. But we're going to share it with 75 people that starting in January, we're going to ask every single person in our congregation to be a part of what God's using to change the world. We want you to be a part of it. We invite you to use this altar as you desire.
Thanks for listening to this podcast by Christ United. If you'd like to respond to today's message, or if you want to share how God is using this ministry in your life, please send us an email to media@christislove.org. Or you can connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram by following @ChristUnitedMB. Thanks again for joining us, and may God bless you.